Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, a local fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast, hosted by Nick Borowski and Pat Hester.
Hey, Sox fans, welcome to Good Guys Talk Back, episode 197. I am Nick Morawski, and this is a fan-centric Chicago White Sox podcast. You can find this podcast absolutely everywhere you find your podcast. We've also got a YouTube channel. Just search Good Guys Talk Back, and you can consume the podcast that way as well. We're also on Twitter at Good Guys TB and have a Facebook fan page. We're everywhere. Tell your friends. We are just closing down season four, actually. This could be the last week of season four. And if you folks are just jumping into White Sox podcasts and have just found us, welcome. I'm going to bring in my co-host, Pat Hester, in just a second here. He and I have been friends for over 20 years, just a couple of diehard Chicago White Sox fans that absolutely love talking about this team. We've been doing it for a while. Met each other in college radio, which we're going to talk about in just a moment because our college station has some big stuff going on that I would love to plug. So thank you for finding us. Pass this podcast along. And we actually have some real solid content here. So let's bring them in. My co-host, very dear friend of mine, Pat Hester. Hello.
So I want to know, did you walk over to the ballpark and wake Rick Hahn up and let him know that the offseason has started? Did you sneak into his bedroom? I'm sure he sleeps there.
He's got a bedroom there.
Can we just imagine, for the sake of argument, let's just pretend everybody lives there and they're never gone. And he just tiptoed in and said, Rick, give him like one of those butterfly kisses, like on his cheek to wake him up and say, the offseason started long ago. You should probably do something. Oh, and he made a move.
What time is it?
Huh? I slept through my alarm.
We're at a point here where we're a week away from winter meetings. And that's when the Sox have been active over the years. I mean, how many times have we heard about the Sox winning the offseason because of what they've been able to do? They have been active in December. They really have. So this was, rumors were starting to, trickle around about Sox really looking at starting pitching, and specifically a guy like Mike Clevinger saw it around Saturday, I think it was. There were a lot of different rumors, Sox interested in Mike Clevinger, and, everybody's got an opinion about this guy because we'll talk about some of the stuff that he's been involved in and the travels he has had from Cleveland to San Diego, but It all materialized here on Sunday, and the Sox sign starting pitcher Mike Clevinger to a one-year deal. Not sure on the money. I'm hoping it's somewhere $7-10 million, a real prove it type of year. Okay, maybe he can get his act together. I mean, it's not the move that we all wanted, and it's early still, and there's a lot of moves still to be done. But Pat, I want to get your, just your first impressions, maybe when you heard about the rumor or maybe when you officially heard the deal went down. What does Mike Clevinger do for you as a Sox fan?
It's filling out the starting rotation, right? And it's a signaling of a wave goodbye to Johnny Cueto. That's obviously in the rear view mirror. It was a fantastic run, and I appreciate what we got out of Johnny Cueto and what he was able to provide to this team. It was too bad that it was not enough to get us over the hump when we really needed more guys in the locker room, singing from the same hymn book, if you will. Mm-hmm. But Clevinger, to me, he's just a guy right now. It is a prove it type of
deal.
He's just a dude. He's had some success in this league, with Cleveland early on in his career. It's been a bumpy road, after that, really, with not being available. Really, I mean, there's not a lot of to talk about in terms of his availability. So we'll see what the physical comes back with and what he can provide. A lot of people keep seeing Twitter going, oh, let's see what happens when he gets in the lab with Ethan Katz. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'm putting Ethan Katz on some type of pedestal to turn guys' careers around now. We used to say that about Don Cooper, the arm whisperer that was Don Cooper, and that kind of faded after time, right? And that was kind of a narrative that died. But I don't know. We'll see. He's another guy. It's not somebody that's I'm going to count on to win us a pennant.
But you shouldn't. Yeah.
You hope that we can get him out there for 25 starts and count on him for, you know, every fifth day, which that would be enough.
He has had his share of injuries, and that's maybe being generous. Clevenger is going to turn 32 on December 21st. Spent parts of five seasons in Cleveland before being traded to San Diego in 2020. He went 7-7 with a 4.33 ERA, 91 strikeouts and 23 appearances for the Padres in 2022 after missing all of 2021, recovering from his second Tommy John surgery. He has dealt with right knee issues, some tricep problems. He was on the COVID list this past June. He showed up in the playoffs, but he didn't do much for the Padres this past year. Sox saw him actually October 1st at the end of this season, and he pitched really well against the Sox. And honestly, he pitched really well against the Sox when he was in a Cleveland uniform. I mean, mm-hmm. he was a dangerous pitcher. He's got kind of that herky-jerky, inconsistent motion. I'm really concerned about the injuries. Yeah. You know, you can get him into Katz's lab if he has a lab, but he can only do so much if he can't stay on the field. You know,
well, I mean, Nick, this let's be fair here. This is the Chicago White Sox. If you're an injured player, this is where you need to come, because you know everybody is always healthier. You know, in this organization, we've got some fantastic people in our training staff that we just keep people on the field and just keep churning them out and healthy and ready to roll.
That's the worry, Pat, is, you know, this team has not been healthy for the last couple of years. It's been a problem. And you're bringing a question mark arm. Granted, it's a low risk, probably fifth starter, fourth, depending on how things shake out. You're bringing him in to a starting staff that has a lot of question marks. Yeah. I mean, Giolito is trying to reinvent himself after whatever happened. Yeah, again, in 2022. Okay. Lance Lynn's not getting any younger. He's dealt with knee problems. He's dealt with issues this past season. Kopech rehabbing from a knee injury, which we're being told he should be all systems go by spring training. Dylan Cease is your only guy that has pretty much zero concerns. I mean, you always have concerns over pitchers. I mean, but right now I'm like, Dylan Cease, you've been taking the ball. You're the second in Cy Young voting. You're where we want. You're our ace. Yeah. We have a lot of question marks. So you're bringing in Clevenger as a reclamation project. You know, it's better than Vince Velasquez, I guess.
Yeah, but this is so on brand for the Chicago White Sox, right?
It really
let's see if we get lightning in a bottle, get a guy motivated and can provide something. You know, sometimes it actually does work out for this team that way. Again, it worked out in just my brief example for Johnny Cueto. We got more out of Johnny Cueto than I think anybody would have thought when we signed him to that minor league deal for what, $4 million or whatever it was. But let's not also get too hot and bothered over it, whether you like the move or don't like the move. Let's not let this move determine our feelings on the offseason so far. It's an incomplete test right now for the Chicago White Sox, and this is the first move. We would have liked it to be something more, you know, a little splashier, something a little bit, you know, we can sink our teeth in a little bit more, get excited about. But don't be, I guess, deterred by this being the first move in the dominoes.
Yeah, it can't, you know, this can't be the highlight move. This can't be, you know, leaving.
If it is, then we're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. There are so many needs that we'll talk about in this episode, you know, second base, if sure. And folks listening, you know, these moves, the moves that are being talked about, you know, outfield, you know, left-handed power, you know, there's the same thing over and over for the last several seasons. So I look at the Mike Clevenger deal as I don't expect him to completely resurrect anything. I think there's some interesting upside to him because of some of the success he had prior to his second Tommy John surgery, you know. But there's also these character issues, Pat, and you probably have heard, you know, rumors about this guy, and, you know, he's not a well-liked guy. Maybe he's a bad teammate. And perhaps a lot of it stemmed from, you know, his issue in early August 2020. Some interesting articles written about it. It was big news when it happened. You got to remember, this was the shortened season, the shortened MLB season of just 60 games. And there were a ton of protocols in place, as there were just about everywhere around the world. And the way MLB was doing things is, you know, this is how it goes. And you got to, you can't really go about town. You're staying kind of in these team hotels. And they were in Chicago, Cleveland, and Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger left the team hotel. They missed curfew. They broke protocol and they went out on the town to socialize with some of Plesac's friends out in the city of Chicago after a game. Okay. Can't blame them. They're young guys. They want to go out and have some fun in Chicago. But what that did, the trickle effect, and, you know, they had to be quarantined and, you know, it really hurt their team. And there were a lot of airing of grievances, it seems like, from Cleveland at the time towards Clevenger and Plesac. And 3 weeks later, Clevenger, with 2 years remaining on his contract, gets shipped off to San Diego in a huge move. He didn't really do much for the Padres. And then he had Tommy John surgery and he missed all of 2021. But that kind of thing, unfortunately, you know, he's tattooed with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick, I mean, I don't, it's a very, when you go back in time, you think of 2020 and everybody had a different opinion about anything. I mean, geez, you could say it's a cloudless sky today. And somebody would point out the one cloud all the way in the peripheral. And you say, you'd have an argument about it. It's just, it was just a way of things at that time. And COVID and the restrictions, it was a very heated battle on a lot of different fronts and lines. And I don't know. It's just, it's a very interesting thing to have culminated into a trade and dividing your locker room. I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I don't know if he's matured or changed. I mean, I'd like to think that people mature and change after, you know, after some time and some knowledge of, you know, maybe looking back and going, maybe that was a dumb thing. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. Whenever I think of players that had a reputation that preceded them and you go, I don't want that guy in my team. I've heard he's a bad teammate, bad guy. The guy I always think about is AJ Pierzynski. I didn't want AJ on this team. He was an awful teammate, apparently, with the Giants organization. He was a jerk when he was with the Twins. You know, what kind of a guy are we bringing in here? And you fast forward and you have one of the heroes of winning a world championship and a beloved player on the South side in terms of the fan base. So can people, you know, change? Yes, they can change. Will they always be a jerk or bad teammate? Or is it just you were a jerk or a bad teammate to a loud enough audience to that kind of stuff gets out. And then that's the reputation that you have. Obviously he's not a bad teammate to Plesac, right? If you ask Zach Plesac, he probably says, you know, he's a great guy. But
absolutely,
you know, that's just what it is.
It shouldn't define him. I think he would admit that it was a mistake. And I think he's tried to move on and it's, you know, something like that during that time, it obviously affected that franchise though, you know, and they felt a certain way about him. You got to feel, you know, you've got to feel that it was just eerie that all of a sudden that he's being shipped over to the Padres in a huge deal. I mean, Cleveland got back Quantrill and Josh Naylor in that deal. There was a big, it was a big exchange. So aside from character, though, okay, because you're right. I mean, you got guys like A.J. Pierzynski. I mean, Nick Swisher is the one that you want to think about. Like, you hear a lot of rumors about that guy, and he really didn't do anything, and he was probably more bad than good, and he did not last very long. So if you produce, though, if you put up the numbers, if you return to form, you know, you start getting looked at a different way, I think. I just don't want it to be detrimental to any other free agents that might be on the fringe, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to the Sox. Yeah, that would be a good, you know, their agents having a conversation with them. Well, the White Sox are, you know, looking into what you've got, what your interest is. Ooh, they just brought in Clevinger. I don't know how players think that way. If players are like, hey, money's money, you're going to pay me, I'm an adult, I'll figure this out, we'll be separate. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know if it's different too for pitchers versus position guys, right? Yeah, I mean, the pitchers are there all the time. It's not like they leave for 4 days and come back just on their fifth day. But, you know, I just think the pitchers are
their, are clicky, you know, man. They could be very clicky.
And, yeah. And I think that group has to be really tight, more so than the everyday guys that are around each other. I think if you can make it work just with that pitching staff and just with those five guys, and those guys motivate each other and have each other's backs, I think it can work. And again, you're going to have groups within a locker room. Not everybody's going to like each other anyway. So it's impossible to say, well, we've put a group of 40 guys together, you know, we're going to whittle it down and have the best, what is it, 26 man roster. And everybody's just going to be great and love each other all the time. That's not realistic anyway. So I don't know. I think it's more of a wait and see thing, Nick. And, I don't get too hot and bothered with the, well, bad teammate, bad locker room guy. That could just be a very loud minority.
Yeah, I'm not putting a ton of stock into that. It is, you know, it is a thread to follow. There's something there. There's a bit of a history with him. And then I think there are more stories you could kick up if you wanted to go down those rabbit holes. In terms of production, though, you know, his numbers mediocre this past season. He's got a lot of injuries. He brings some baggage. I'm not terribly excited about it. You know, they're addressing starting pitching. You know, we'll see. I'm interested to know eventually what the dollar amount is. And it's low risk. Hopefully that they can address some other issues. But it's a classic bargain bin hunting for the White Sox. You know, probably another offseason if things trend the way we're hearing that they could trend, where the White Sox don't really go after a big fish in the starting pitching market. Could they trade for that pitcher? Perhaps, but needs like outfielder and namely second baseman are what I think should be some top priorities. Now, there was a rumor that surfaced over the Thanksgiving weekend, and, you know, Bruce Levine was talking about it on 670 The Score, that Sox interested in Milwaukee Brewers Colton Wong, second baseman, left-handed hitter. He's got some power. He's kind of hoping to return to form, had a bit of a dip recently, but a long time St. Louis Cardinal. He would really fit into what the White Sox are trying to do, I think, in terms of a veteran second baseman, left-handed power. What could the Sox potentially give up? I'm going to try to talk to the Lockdown Brewers host later this week and have him on a Lockdown White Sox episode, just to pick his brain and what potentially the Brewers might want to be thinking about there. But Pat, you know, Colton Wong checks all the boxes. Sometimes it's so obvious how come it doesn't happen another White Sox way.
Yeah, I mean, Colton Wong to me would be like, okay, this would be your prototypical, like, I can count on that, right? There's very few things that, you know, you couldn't really count on a Josh Harrison. You just didn't know. It was like, well, we're going to kind of make it work, and we're going to maybe start him, I don't know, half the time, and he'll platoon here, and maybe he'll work with this situation. Colton Wong's a guy that you can write into the lineup, assuming he's healthy, for 30 games. I mean, that's just the kind of player he is, and he should be. He's going to be a well-disciplined, good fundamentals type of guy, run the base as well. He can steal you a bag. He can pop a home run here or there if you need to, and he's left-handed, as you mentioned. So I would be very high on a Colton Wong being a good piece and a really good fit for this organization in terms of, you know, we don't have really good, sound, fundamental players all over the diamond, and he would be like, okay, I can count on that up the middle. And that's a good move. Again, assuming that you're making a little bit bigger of a splash in right field, right? Again, I've always said, you can sell me on these like Colton Wongs of the world, because I think that's a solid baseball player there, and I can count on that guy. But you've got to be able to tell me that there's something better in the horizon in the area of the greatest need, which I still believe is right field. So I'm all about that. Again, depending on what they give up, they're in the position. They've painted themselves in a corner, Nick, where they will not go out there and spend money. They've already said that, and things will happen only via trade. So if that's the way it's going to go, that's the way it's going to go. Again, we know that they're, you know, not swimming with a ton of talent down in the minor leagues. So what are we trading here? It doesn't really matter. You have a great need at second base. You're going to have to pay a little to get what you need to get, you know, for that spot.
Yeah. I've kind of been under the impression that they're going to fill that spot second base internally. That's just because it's how it's gone. You know, the second base has always been a need. You know, we covered it, you know, since the Gordon Beckham era, there hasn't been a second baseman that has repeated in back-to-back opening day starts. It's been a revolving door, and they take these flyers on guys like a Josh Harrison as of late. And you know, you get pretty much what you expected out of a Josh Harrison, you know, and he's gone after a year, much like what happened with Cesar Hernandez. Granted, that was just a trade deadline acquisition, but you know, if I just, and this is the issue with Clevinger. I hate to go back to Clevinger, and I know he's not a top of the line starter anymore. He's looking to try to work his way back to that, maybe still fresh from his second Tommy John surgery, perhaps. You know, maybe he's still trying to build up some muscle, build up some strength, repeatable motion, all that stuff. Maybe that'll come this offseason. Maybe things will click in 2023. But the whole thing of, like, you know, going dumpster diving, you know, going after guys that have been let go, non-tendered, or just not re-signed, and these band-aids is what I think the conversation, we're all saying it in different ways, I guess. It's just find a long-term solution, find something that is not just that this will get me through the season, this will get me to next year. Find something, and you're going to have to pay a little bit more. You're going to have to give up a little bit more. Find something that can be a long-term solution. You know, we just went through Black Friday deals, and there's going to be Cyber Monday, and, you know, going for deals. And everybody loves a good deal. But if it's a poor product and you're just going to have to pitch it in 6 months or in a year and cough up more money for something else, then I'd rather pay relatively full price for something I'm going to have, you know, for 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, it's the shame of the ownership not allowing Rick Hahn, I don't think, to always be able to do what he would like to be able to do. I don't know if Rick Hahn is really a good, you know, general manager or not. Sometimes it's like you'd like him to be a little more shrewd and a little bit more savvy and a little bit more, wow. That was a really interesting long-term move that he just made that not only makes them stronger this year, but in the future. But he had to be very creative about it. And it just doesn't seem to happen. It's really easy. You know, a lot of people, I'm not the first one to say this. I won't be the last. It's really easy to trade away your top players and get a whole bunch back. It's easy to trade Chris Sale and Quintana and get a haul back for those types of guys, because that's the easy part. The hard part is when you're on the doorstep and you go, man, I got to make this move. It's going to hurt us a little bit, right? And it may make our fan base go, what are you doing? but I can see the fruits of the labor in the future with making this type of move that's going to make us better here, 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 and here. You just may not see it all yet. And people look back and go, wow, what a great move by Rick Hahn by doing that and being aggressive. When the move needed to be made, he made the move.
Do you know what type of move I think you're talking about? Maybe you're not, but I really liked it. Was the Lance Lynn move, the Dane Dunning Lance Lynn? Dane Dunning had a bunch of upside at that time,
and that's a good one, Nick. Thank you. That is good.
And I thought they sold him at the right time. You know, like he auditioned a little bit during that season. And he was still coming off, you know, a bit of an injury. He hadn't been full strength. But what we were seeing as Sox fans was exciting. Like, wow, wait till this guy can actually go deeper into a game. You know, Stone was raving about him. And this, I thought the Sox, played that perfectly at the right time. And, you know, I still think Dane Dunning, you know, could be a really good pitcher. He hasn't found it yet, and it takes some time. But what we were hoping out of Lance Lynn, I mean, Lance Lynn has been pretty reliable. You know, this season he had some health issues here and there. But when he's right, man, he's a guy you are trusting, hopefully, down the stretch if the Sox can just get deep into a postseason.
That was the right move to be made. That was like, okay, we are ready. You know, that's a signal to me as a fan that we are ready to win. And this is the type of player we need to go, as you mentioned, deep in a playoff run. We need a guy like a Lance Lynn. And Dane Dunning is a nice piece, and he may develop into something, but he's not going to help us in this window of time when we want to win. So we have to move off of this guy. And I would like to see more moves like that being made. And maybe that's with a move at some point off of Andrew Vaughn, right? It's like, listen, this is a guy that maybe is a duplicate piece. Maybe we slide Sheets into first base and we need that left-handed bat in the lineup anyway. So maybe that's the move we make after we, you know, let Jose go and walk in free agency, and we can get the most back for an Andrew Vaughn. We don't necessarily need a right-handed power hitting first baseman.
You're going down an interesting, road here. Do you have any place, in your gut for a Lucas Giolito or a Tim Anderson trade this offseason? Those names have been floated here and there by folks in the fan base. And, you know, you can maybe have those conversations without somebody laughing because of the way the Sox operate. They're in creative trade mode. And I don't know if you're going to get an extension out of Lucas Giolito. I don't know if they're going to sign. The Sox don't sign pitching long term. Yeah. They just don't.
That's a great question, Nick. And there's a lot of people down on a Tim Anderson right now. But if you're going to trade Tim Anderson, you have to. That's a superstar position, right? Shortstop. So you tell me who we're replacing him with or who you're trading him for. Because if this organization has told us anything, they're not investing a ton of money in shortstop, even though there's some shortstops to be had out there. I think it's more interesting, Giolito, you're not really selling high on Giolito. No. I'd almost like to keep Gio and let him be in prove it mode himself, a very motivated guy. And you're under no obligation to extend him and let him sign his way off of this team. If that's what happens, let's get the best out of him. I hate to say that, like kind of a use him for his skills for 1 year or whatever it is and let him go into free agency. Cause we're not going to sign him anyway. I don't know. Those are interesting discussions. I don't see either one of them really happening. One, because you have a guy that you're not going to get much back for, I don't believe, in Giolito. And the other one, you'd have to replace that. Still, you have to replace that position with a better shortstop, which Tim Anderson, by all accounts, even though he has some flaws, is still an all-star shortstop.
Yeah. I have found the Sox to overvalue their players during this rebuild process for sure since 2016. And I know we're calling this rebuild over and it's been over, but I think there's still just this timestamp of 2016 of, when things really changed and we started to have this surplus of you know, prospects and the ability to not only, you know, get them via trade, but we were drafting high, and a lot of those drafts just went horribly, horribly wrong, or we held on to them too long and people figured out around the league what we had or didn't have. And they can't bring back a lot of value right now on their own. They have to be packaged up. And I think about a guy like Jake Berger. I don't know if we ever really found out because of some injuries here and there, but Jake Berger's stuck, man. What are you going to do with Jake Berger? I mean, he is a man on an island that we've seen in small sample sizes can deliver. He had some moments this past season, mm-hmm. you know, with the bat, especially. What is his place in this organization? Did we hold on to him too long? I mean, there have been other players like that have come and gone that just like, what did you see in this guy that clearly other organizations didn't see, you know, and maybe it's because there's a love for the draft pick, you know, and I don't get it. And it maybe has hurt the Sox over the years.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think organizations, the ones that fail often are the ones that fall in love with their guys and can't see the forest for the trees. Mm. If I'm using that expression correctly, it's like, listen, we love this guy. This guy's
a very modern expression too, Pat, which I appreciate. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. but it's like you have to be you have to put the blinders on and you have to go, okay, I'm just going to look at this guy on an Excel sheet and I'm going to go, this is what he can do and this is what he's done. He will produce this back for me. You can't get emotional and with any of your players, because that's when these GMs, in my opinion, they fail, is when there's emotion involved with it. Because let's be honest, they put them, the scouts, everybody else in the organization puts a lot of time and effort into scouting these guys and figuring out who they are and talking with people that they know and investigating everything about them, finding out if they're good people or yada, 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 yada. You spend a lot of time, and then you get them there and it's like, okay, we're going to see the fruit of our labor here. And then you're like, well, we're going to move them. It's like, geez, we just put all this time and effort and money and invested in all this guy, and then we're going to move him? You're kidding me. Yeah. But you have to put that all aside and go, I have to make the best move for this organization, not necessarily feed my ego and prove that I was right and look how great I was to find this guy.
Yeah. Han used to say, you know, early on after the sale deal, and we're coming up to that anniversary soon, that a lot of these players we won't see them in a White Sox uniform. And I feel like it happened. And I anticipated that, meaning we're going to flip them for something else. You know, we're going to be trading these guys for, you know, ready to go on the big league roster that are going to help our club, you know, continue to become a force in the AL Central and beyond. And I think it might've been more of, you might not see him in a White Sox uniform for very long or at all because they're just not that good. They just can't play at this level. And you know, we saw it with, you know, and they just couldn't stay healthy. You know, the Zach Birdies and Zach Collins, and, you know, there are others. Sox have a lot of needs. We'll see what happens. You know, winter meetings are where deals can get done. We've seen a lot of trades that the White Sox have orchestrated in December, early December, later in the year. And last year was weird with the lockout. So it starts December 4th, I believe, in San Diego.
One of us is on assignment for that to go to the winter meetings? Is it you or I can't remember?
It's my year for it.
Well, it's always seems like.
Wouldn't that be nice though, Pat? Wouldn't it be really great if MLB started to like really pay attention to independent podcasts and alternative media and like they supported it? Well, I mean, you know, if you would go to the Chicago White Sox and just say like, I'd like credentials and I'd like to be able to, you know, be at these certain events and press conferences and this, that, and the other.
Well, I need to know, is there an expense account that I have and a company card for Good Guys Talk Back? And what is my limit?
Yeah. It would be probably on our own dime for now, but just the access. Wow. It'd be nice
really?
To have the access.
Come on, what kind of organization is this?
Yeah, we're going to have some fundraisers to get out there. But there could be a lot going on. Something that's going to happen in March, second week of spring training, when actually games are going on, is the World Baseball Classic. I don't know if you heard about this, Pat, that Yoan Moncada and Luis Robert wanted to get permission to play for Team Cuba, and they were granted permission, as far as I know. So they are going to be playing for Team Cuba in the World Baseball Classic, and Tim Anderson, I believe, will be playing for USA.
No.
How do you feel about Moncada and Robert playing?
No.
Not happy,
Why?
Huh? Yeah.
Why?
Well,
I guess it's Moncada's an opportunity not gonna run, so he'll be fine.
It's an opportunity for them to play for their country. It's the World Baseball Classic doesn't happen every year. That's my argument for it. But I'm kind of with you on these guys have not been able to consistently play 100 games in a year, and they're going to go off. And I guess you can get hurt in spring training games as well. I don't know what the difference is, perhaps.
Yeah, but our guys are always – I don't know. I don't see – you can't sell me as a fan on the upside. Now, for those guys playing for their country, I totally understand why they want to do it, right? But as maybe the owner of the team, I would have a big hesitation on allowing them to play, and I would have a lot to say with whoever's managing that team. Like, listen, you got to tell me that you're not going to wear my guy out. Right
here. I get that. I think they've been given the green light. Here's an angle to it. Just a spin. Maybe playing, a little bit more competitive baseball. Okay. It's going to be far more competitive than some of the spring training games that they're going to be playing. Maybe that will set the tone early. Maybe that competition, maybe
you've been talking
that'll
to our buddy Steve, haven't you? you're talking about World Baseball Classic setting the tone.
It's competitive.
Is he in your basement right now?
No, he's not. No, we should really get him back on this podcast, though. I do enjoy a good Steve. You see where I'm getting at, though? Yeah. Like, I think the competition is going to be, it's going to be more advanced than some of the spring training games that are going to be going down at Camelback Ranch. I don't know. Maybe it gets them more into game ready mode for opening day.
You know perhaps. What? Whatever you got to do to get yourself motivated, I guess, and get going. Maybe it's the pageantry of playing for your country in the World Baseball Classic. Fine, but for the love of everything good and pure, don't get hurt. And please stretch and hydrate yourselves.
Well, that's okay? A given. Can you
please stretch out your limbs and your body to prepare for a game?
Pat, there needs to be a sign. And if it's not there, maybe it's there. Who knows? It's not being listened to or acknowledged. Like, stretch like a champion today. I want that sign in the White Sox clubhouse. Stretch like a champion today, that they all have to hit on their way out of the clubhouse onto the field for their pregame warmups. That's what they need.
Okay.
You hit the sign, didn't you? You touched the sign. What's going on here?
How could you forget? It's right there. We have several signs.
Everybody tapped.
We have at least three signs up in the building. How can you forget to stretch?
There needs to be a whole, man. I'll be at spring training this year. I will be going in very early March for a few games, and you better believe I'll be watching the pregame.
Oh, I know you are.
Critiquing. Thorough with
phone
my
in?
Photos.
Can you phone in? Say, give us a live report on the field.
I will definitely be documenting what I see in terms of the stretching. Absolutely.
There's no better person than the personal rubdown guy of the Chicago mm-hmm. White Sox, Nick Morawski.
Yeah, right. That would be an interesting label in the media guide.
What's that rubdown guy?
Rubdown guy? Is it? Am I reading that right? Is it? You guys got a rubdown guy this year?
Yeah, that's me.
Interesting.
Rubdown guy.
Wow. You guys really went all out. Mike Clevenger, rubdown guy. You had one heck of an off season.
we have one person in the analytics department and a rubdown guy.
So things are going well here. You know, I think we can recapture the AL Central. It's a weak division. We didn't think we needed to try that hard. Okay. Yeah, it's a weak division.
We learned. We'll try a little harder.
It's a very weak division. We're coming up on some anniversaries here, Pat. It'll be before our next episode. November 30th last year was a real big day for this franchise. Lurie Garcia signed a 3-year, $16.5 million contract.
Through the whole episode. Thought we could get through the whole. We couldn't make it though, Nick. We're at the 39-minute mark of this episode, and I thought, man, we haven't talked about the legend today.
Yeah,
and then you brought up the anniversary.
We're just a few days away from that magical anniversary. 3-year, $16.5 million. On the same day, the Sox also made their only real big splash before the lockout in terms of free agency. Kendall Graveman was signed. That might have been, was that 3-year, $24 million, something crazy? We threw so much money at bullpen arms, and he was the first one. So Graveman and Lurie Garcia, big days for them. November 30th.
Wow, congratulations. Happy anniversary to Lurie Garcia. I don't know who you have naked photos of, but God bless you for, you know, being around as long as you have and doing one good thing in your career.
And that was a magical home run. And he's going to be the longest tenured Chicago White Sox, right? You know, once Abreu walks.
Yeah.
That's it. Like Lurie's been on the team, what, since 2014? I want to say 2013, something like that.
I just can't wait for us to have an anniversary, a celebration of when that contract is up, and pray to the heavens that there's nobody dumb enough to sign him again.
And that's what I say about, you know, and hopefully he is really utilized as just like a super utility guy. Which he was pretty much when Cairo took over.
Don't tell Tony the Russo that. His pacemaker just shut off. He heard you say that.
Can you imagine the first game that we hear, like, La Russa's in the building, like he was invited back by Reinsdorf, and he's going to be watching games from, like, the owner's box.
Is he throwing out first pitch at opening day? You think?
For everything you've done for the franchise and for that division championship, it's your old pal Tony La Russa, Tony throwing out the first pitch.
Did they change? What was it? The one spot in the ballpark that they changed the name to
La Russa's Lounge.
Yeah, La Russa's whatever it was.
It was Loretta's Lounge, I believe.
Yeah, and everybody was all hot and bothered when it changed. And will they change it back then? Now that Tony's gone, you think?
I hope, yeah. I really hope they do. You know, this coming year, 2023, is the 30th anniversary of the 93 team. Is my math's right on that?
Yeah, that'd be
your math's
right.
I would get McDowell to throw out the first pitch or something, or honor the 93 team somehow. There's got to be some sort of honoring.
I'll get to Brooks. I'll remind him and say, hey, Brooks. Just so you know, 93, one of my favorite teams of all time.
Was that not a fun team? And 94 broke your heart, but 93, gosh, that was a fun team. Great personalities and the pitching staff. Holy man.
Yeah.
Power, you know, you had speed. That was fun.
Yeah.
They were just a few years after, you know, the change of the jersey. And if folks ever wonder, why are you called Good Guys Talk Back? Well, it's a play on, you know, the slogan from that era, Good Guys Wear Black. And, you know, they changed their uniforms. They went to the new Comiskey. And those early 90s teams, that was the saying, Good Guys Wear Black. Silver and black are back. It was a fun year.
Well, happy anniversary to that team. Yeah. Hopefully,
sorry, I had to bring it up.
No, I love it. It's a lot of the reason why I'm a fan.
Before we sign off, I do want to get a follow up on how your brining went, how your turkey went.
But, a lot of compliments, Nick. I'm going to tell you what: if you don't brine a turkey properly,
sure,
it will dry out on you, and you'll have you'll get that, like, well, what are we really having turkey for? Turkey's always dry; it doesn't taste fantastic. if you do this properly and you brine it, you take time and you care and love that bird, it'll love you back, Nick.
Hey, there's nothing better than some turkey leftovers. There's a variety of different things you can do, and I'm glad it was a success.
Yeah, it was great. And I hope your turkey day was fantastic.
It was.
And it was lovely. A lot of time well spent with family. Mine was spent, portion of it yelling at people about the shift and then home runs. Somebody was telling me that home runs are ruining baseball. Mm-hmm. They may or not be listening to this podcast at some point. It's all in good fun. That's what family time is all about, arguing with old people about baseball.
It's a timeless tradition, a tradition like no other. And I envision as the season gets closer, like we will start talking about some of those rule changes that will be in effect in 2023 for the first time, pitch clock, larger bases, and the shift. Cause I do think it will help some of our Sox players if they are still on the team. Before we go, you know, again, little backstory of Pat and I. We met in college in Joliet, University of St. Francis, and we were on the college radio station. We did radio, we did TV, and our radio station, Pat, I don't know if you've tuned in yet or listened.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. Our radio station, after the day after Thanksgiving, they were doing this before the light, I believe. 93.9
to late. Oh, the light they copied.
I believe so. Our radio station, WCSF 88.7 FM, goes commercial free because it's a college radio station. Commercial free Christmas music, I think, through New Year's. And that's happening right now. And they've got wonderful programs. You can get them online too. I believe you can just listen, you know, online.
You're going to want to stream it because unless you're on top of the university, it's probably not going to come in clear.
100 watt station.
Unless you're right by the transformer or whatever it is. Yeah.
I had people telling me, yeah, I was listening, but you know, I left my dorm room and I walked across the street. I lost it. I lost you guys.
But that brings up some great memories. Yes. Yeah. It is 24 hours. Of commercial free. Yeah, I think you and I are still the top billing salespeople in terms of sponsorship dollars brought into university. Yeah. So I don't know if there's a statue up yet or not, but you know, they have us to thank for a lot of that stuff. And the 29th, November 29th, starts the Cinnamon Bear. So if you're not familiar with the Cinnamon Bear, it's a stuffed bear come to life. You can listen to the Cinnamon Bear episodes. You can listen to the previous episode, I think it's 5:30, and the new episode at 6, something like that. Yep. Listen to the Cinnamon Bear, dropped in 1939. It's an old radio program, and you're going to love it. Just sit around the radio with your family. Oh, the Cinnamon Bear.
You know, I was listening to a little bit of commercial Christmas music, you know, on the radio, as everybody does on the light, and just too many commercials, you know. So if you're looking for something that's commercial free, and they go there's a lot of deep dives in terms of Christmas music, check out 88.7 FM WCSF. Find it on the old internet and stream it. It's great.
I agree. I second that emotion, Nick. And maybe you and I will pick up a shift. You know, we could. I'd love to go back. Make up a couple bucks.
There was a Sunday night shift you did that was Christmas in our town, where folks called in for requests, and it was maybe a 2 to 3 hour program, and that line was busy the entire time with people wanting to make dedications, and it was a well listened to station. It really got you in the Christmas spirit.
I think we still have some calls we didn't get to, and that's how backed up we were. Over 20 years.
Yeah. Hopefully they got that eventually. But Pat, my friend, always a pleasure talking White Sox with you,
buddy. Let's do it again next week. What do you say?
I would love that. That would be on the eve of winter meetings, and really it would be the start of season 5 of this podcast. Wow. Pat, if you can
that's
believe
season
it.
Season 5, you'll be live from San Diego. It'll be a big day.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, I really appreciate you spending some time with us. Hopefully these White Sox conversations continue in your life amongst coworkers, family, or friends this holiday season. You can find this podcast absolutely everywhere you find your podcasts. We're also on YouTube, so subscribe to our YouTube channel. We are on Twitter @GoodGuysTB, and we've got a Facebook fan page. For Pat Hester, I am Nick Morawski. Until next time, go Sox.